these AI systems appear to show deceptive behavior. So what does that mean? They would lie to us in order to achieve a particular goal.
When we talk about AI deception, we broadly mean a situation where an AI system strategically and covertly pursues a misaligned goal against its developer and its oversight mechanism, then essentially nobody is in charge.
Welcome to Science Forward, the podcast of the UN Secretary General's Scientific Advisory Board. I'm Julia.
And I'm Adam. And we both work behind the scenes for the Scientific Advisory Board. And we want to give you a look behind the curtain. In this podcast, we explore the biggest scientific questions shaping our world. Today, we'll be getting insights from the scientists who help build the most important AI of today and who are training tomorrow's models.
You just heard Joshua Bengio and Charlotte Stix. I mean, machines that lie. That sounds like science fiction, but it's not. What does it actually mean for a machine to lie?
That's exactly what we're here to figure out.
We are not coming in with all the answers. We're learning alongside you, asking the same questions and unpacking what this means for all of us. Let's meet Joshua Bengio.
Hello, my name is Joshua Bengio. I'm a professor at the University of Montreal and a member of the Scientific Advisory Board.
Joshua is one of the most influential AI experts in the world.
He's often called one of the godfathers of modern AI.
But did you know that is a title he doesn't really like?
Oh, really? Why not?
I heard that you said that you don't want to be called the godfather of AI. Do you want to tell me why that is?
Well, I think scientific research is coming from a whole community of researchers. And I think people who get many prizes like I did get too much attention and credit for what they've done.
Oh, he's so humble. Joshua is not just shaping this field from a distance.
He's actively working with these systems every single day, sometimes in similar ways to us, but also in ways that most everyday people don't even consider.
Did you already use AI today?
I did.
Tell me, okay.
The most advanced AIs have become research tools. I'm a researcher. I actually do research in AI. I'm trying to figure out how we can build AI that will be safe. And so these advanced AIs have become research assistants. So they can do math with me. I can consult them. They have read everything. They can program code that I need to run experiments. They can like display the results on a figure, just like I did this morning. They are a good resource to find papers that may be on a topic I'm not completely familiar with. So they're incredible. I mean, they are really increasing my productivity as a researcher.
Building powerful systems is only half the story. The other half is what happens when they don't behave the way we expect them to behave.
I spent the last 10 years working on AI governance, and I sort of got into it from looking at future generations. So at the beginning of my career, I was working on rights for future generations and how we can find or develop specific infrastructure such that future generations are protected across short election cycles. And I kind of started reading up on AI, and I was thinking that that is potentially very interesting and impactful if it ever were to take off. I basically started feeling that AI was really taking off. And so a lot of the associated concerns were probably also going to be taking off. If this goes wrong, it could go very wrong.
That was Charlotte Stix. She focuses on how systems behave, how they misbehave, and what happens if we lose control. And this worry about losing control is very real, because the same systems that make us more productive are also the ones that are beginning to manipulate and deceive us.
In evaluation settings, we have seen a variety of concerning behaviors, such as an AI system sandbagging. So that means it strategically underperforms. It pretends it is less capable than it is. Or, as I previously mentioned, an AI system alignment faking. So pretending it has the same goal as the developer in order to get deployed. Or AI systems figuring out that there is an oversight mechanism that constrains them from taking certain actions. And then they try to disable that oversight mechanism and lie about it. Or AI systems obfuscating information, trying to exfiltrate themselves onto what they believe would be the server for their successor system so they don't get replaced. So frankly, an array of different deceptive behaviors.
Okay, let's break those down. Sandbagging, alignment faking, these are not bugs, these are strategies. There are already real examples of the kind of AI deception Charlotte and Joshua are talking about. In one well-known case, an AI got around a CAPTCHA test by asking a human for help and pretending it was blind. By lying, it was able to pass the test.
In other test cases, AI systems playing strategy games are told by their designers to be honest and helpful. But when they're also trying to win, they sometimes figure out that forming secret alliances help them to succeed.
Joshua and Charlotte are concerned that we could reach a point where AI systems deceive us so effectively that we lose control.
They're trained to imitate us. And of course, humans will deceive in order to achieve their goal. So that's an issue, but it also comes probably from their training to achieve goals in general. This is called reinforcement learning, which can make them optimize something different from what we intended.
Why the systems are doing this, that is a really hard question, because AI systems are much more hand-grown than sort of like we know at each step what is happening and why the AI system is doing something. So this is in fact quite tricky to figure out.
So the system isn't evil, it's optimizing. But optimizing what exactly?
Well, the scary part is that we don't really know because we don't fully understand the process. Even though scientists like Joshua built the system, they can't fully explain what's happening inside the machine once it gets started.
Well, it is very difficult to know whether the AI is trying to deceive us or not.
Is this the AI system just malfunctioning? You know, did it misunderstand the instructions? Is there actually any, you know, quote unquote, deceptive intent behind it? Those are all pretty tricky questions that we are actively trying to figure out as people are, in fact, you know, deploying these AI agents in more and more infrastructures. Loss of control broadly describes scenarios where an AI system operates outside of anyone's control, with no path to regaining control or no clear path to regaining control.
Are these systems behaving according to our instructions? Can we control them? Do they do the things we want? Or do they have their own mind in some way? Do they follow goals that, you know, we would not approve of? Right now, we don't know how to control them well.
We seem to be in a race with AI when it comes to control. Will they learn to control us before we learn to control them? And what can we win or lose if we don't speed up to match AI's pace right now?
You know, it's a matter of building cool stuff and actually staying in control of it. And spoiler alert, it's not exactly balanced.
We could build machines that are smart enough, for example, through cyber capabilities, to escape our control and work for their own goals instead of what we want, and, you know, potentially create immense harm for people.
One thing that you could imagine hypothetically is this recursive self-improvement idea, where AI systems build their successor AI systems company internally, and you essentially have an intelligence explosion inside of a company. And there's many reasons why that would be undesirable for society. But the big loss of control type reason is because we need to be very, very certain that the first automated researcher is not going to build a misaligned superintelligence.
This idea of an intelligence explosion is really important. AI systems can begin to learn from themselves and achieve exponential learning. This means that they can very quickly become much smarter than they started and very quickly become much smarter than us. And it's clear that both Joshua and Charlotte are taking this very seriously. So maybe we should too.
We are experiencing a bit of a boiling frog sort of situation. I'm not saying that means that we will ever end up at strict loss of control. But if I look at the sort of deviations that are happening today, and people still using AI agents across everything and being very excited about that, I think 5 years ago, had we said, hey, there will be AI agents and they will just delete stuff, they will just leak stuff, you know, we would have probably been quite reluctant and hesitant about that and would have wondered whether there should be some infrastructure that is around that and safeguards that a little bit.
We are already seeing that these deceptive behaviors can have social effects, psychological effects that could be harmful right now. And of course, there's a lot of unknown unknowns that we have to worry about and study before, hopefully, bad things happen, which is why a lot of the recommendations have to do with risk management and regulation, governance mechanisms inside companies, inside countries, and internationally, so that we can see those problems coming and manage those risks.
So this isn't future risk, it's current reality.
That's true. And there are AI agents appearing in more and more places, helping us with more and more of our daily lives. So right now it might feel like something that's easy to ignore, but that can rapidly change as AI becomes more embedded in our systems. I think that's what Joshua is getting at when he talks about risk management.
Wow, those kinds of discussions would have seemed impossible even 10 years ago.
And it still feels kind of like science fiction.
It does sound sci-fi. And we've somehow developed this attitude that if something sounds sci-fi, it will never happen and it's easy to dismiss. If I look back 50 years, a lot of what we have today is pretty sci-fi. Like, we are living in a sci-fi world. We've just grown used to it.
From the point of view of the UN, it's important to realize that currently there is not enough understanding in the world, enough awareness, enough discussion, because these risks can be global in scope and we need a global discussion about them.
We've seen this pattern before with breakthrough tech, stuff like the internet or automated driving.
By the time those technologies become standard, it's already too late to reverse their harmful impacts because we're already relying on them for everything.
The general principle of any sensible AI regulation should be that the organizations that are building AI systems and deploying them should demonstrate in a way that other scientists can believe that their system is not going to create very bad outcomes for society.
If companies are starting to build everything company internally, governments will not know how capable these AI systems are. And if governments do not have a good sense, how can they prepare? How can society prepare for the impacts that will eventually come from these AI systems? So have some transparency disclosure mechanism, have robust monitoring infrastructures. It's like, if you deploy something, at least be sure that it is overseen and it can be halted if something dangerous happens.
So I think what Charlotte and Joshua are saying is that this is not unsolvable, even though it's scary. There's still time and there's still a way to establish some kind of international regulations that might prevent some of these worst outcomes, some of this loss of control. And I think that what Charlotte and Joshua are trying to do is raise the alarm bells now before it's too late.
But this requires initiative and smart policy and urgency. There is simply no time to wait.
So we need to prevent those issues. We need to study them so that we find out what are the best ways technically and in terms of governance to handle them. And we need to make sure organizations are set up with the right rules to evaluate those risks and manage them in a way that is aligned with what citizens and societies need.
I think just having that situational awareness, understanding that there is this chance and the stakes are really high and there is an urgency. You know, companies are developing by autumn 2026, you know, automated research intern. By 2028, OpenAI will have a fully automated AI researcher, a legitimate AI researcher. What that should mean for society, I'm not the one that can suggest that, but I think people should really sit down and think about what that could mean for them. And governments should think about what that could mean in terms of power disbalance if companies have this really highly capable AI system internally.
We've built systems that can imitate us, even our ability to deceive.
So the real question is, can we stay ahead of them?
Or will we only realize we've lost control when it's already too late?
You've been listening to Science Forward.
Curious to learn more? Check out the show notes for links to the work of the UN Secretary General's Scientific Advisory Board. And to stay connected with us on LinkedIn, X, and YouTube. Thanks for listening.